This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America tonight, as always, thrilled to be here with you. And boy, what a year it's been, hasn't it? It's been an interesting year in the world of sports, business, politics, and the buzz in your backyard, and my year for sure. Coming up, we've got some of the great interviews we did. I had the pleasure of interviewing more than 12,000 people. Some of them recently that I've talked to, many of you have responded to those interviews. So sit back, relax, and enjoy, that's for sure. I know one thing that I'll be enjoying is I haven't seen my family in a year. You know, just like many of you, I'm stuck where I couldn't get to see them, and I haven't seen my brother, and I'm excited to go see my brother and my sister-in-law, and I hope that you're spending some time with your family as well. Nothing like being with the family over the holidays, and I can't wait. I can't wait for that. You're probably doing the bowl game thing, too. Are you getting ready for the big bowl games that are coming up? And, of course, the big bowl games include the biggest are the New Year's Eve games, which are tremendous. The New Year's Eve games include LSU and Louisville. I'm going to throw in a little sports here at the top, and I'll tell you why in a second. Georgia Tech and Kentucky, that, of course, is the Tax Slayer Bowl in Jacksonville. By the way, the other one is the Buffalo Wild Wing Citrus Bowl in Orlando, the LSU-Louisville. Remember Louisville at one time with the Heisman winning Lamar Jackson, that people talked about Louisville maybe making it into one of the semifinal games. And speaking of the semifinal games, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, Washington at 4, taking on Alabama. How do you beat Alabama? That's a good question. Jake Browning has to have a heck of a game at quarterback for Washington. And Alabama, I mean, they're like a pro team. Nick Saban is amazing what he's been able to do with the Crimson Tide, no matter how many players they lose. That game should be great. It kicks at 3 o'clock Eastern. So remember that on December 31st. We'll be talking before that, but just keep it in your mind. Also, the night game is Ohio State and Clemson, and that one is the other semifinal. That's the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl in Phoenix, and there you have Clemson at 2 and Ohio State. So in that game, I think it's going to be a close game. In the Alabama-Washington game, if Washington beat Alabama, there's your story. That would be shocking. I'm not saying it's not possible, but how shocking would that be? And hats off to Penn State. I know there's some Penn State alums listening to this show. And boy, your Nittany Lions deserve all the credit in the world because They had an incredible season. Some say they should have been there in the 4, but okay. They finish at number 5 at 11-2. They're going to the Rose Bowl to take on the USC Trojans. You have a quarterback who has the biggest heart in the world. This guy scrambles all over the place. Trace McSorley, who had an incredible season, threw for over 3,300 passing yards and 25 touchdowns. So we have some exciting bowl action, and once again, we have a bona fide playoff, so we get to talk about, how about that, what I think is a true number one. Now, as for Nail the Score, my mother-in-law got sick. I had to cancel the Nail the Score from the previous week, so I'm going to do a double dip. 2 games on the 29th. Your chance to Nail the Score on the 29th twice. Does it get any better than that? The gift that keeps on giving. I have a feeling somebody will win. I think someone's going to win. You think of the Dallas Cowboys, they're coming off of a win. Will it be the Cowboy game? Will it be yet another game? And it's the tail end of the season, and of course we'll have playoffs too, so don't worry about that because I've already had some people ask me about that. But we will have playoffs. So week 17 it will be. Week 17, and that's what you'll be doing, nailing the score for one of the games. Write it down on the 29th, Thursday the 29th. So the games that are on the board like the Vikings and the Bears, the Cowboys and the Eagles. Ugh, the Eagles. I can't even talk about them. The Cardinals and the Rams, the Raiders and the Broncos is a big one. The Raiders, though, are in such control. They've got 11 wins on the season, looking for 12. The Chiefs and the Chargers. The Chiefs fell off. The Sunday night game, or not Sunday night, the afternoon games are pretty interesting. And the Browns, you know, the question of what a horrible season the Browns have had. They're going to have some great draft choices. And the Patriots and the Dolphins, that should be a really good game. But anyway, I don't know what the games are going to be because the computer will randomly pick the game of the week. But just remember, it's going to be the 29th. Coming up, I've had that pleasure, I've said this now so many times, of interviewing so many people on this show. And because of that, it's just enabled me to, I think it's just enabled me to give you a broader picture of what I call the bus in the backyard. So we always go down the campaign trail, and then we came out of the campaign trail, and we talk about politics, and we have somebody on from Talk Media News all year long, and that's been just tremendous fun to be able to do that. And it's now about forming the cabinet and the inauguration and a new president coming in and the president leaving. And how about this? This is so interesting. But actor Sylvester Stallone says he's flattered that President-elect Donald Trump would consider him to head up the National Endowment for the Arts, but he said he'd be more effective continuing to help the veterans. He said he's flattered and he believes he could be just better served by bringing national attention to returning military personnel in an effort to get fine employment and suitable housing and financial assistance and all of that. But how about that? And Stallone, at 70 years old, was approached by Trump, also same age, to head that up. And he said he's not a Republican, but he did support John McCain for president in 2008. And he said he loved Donald. He's a great Dickinson character is what he said. But he didn't want that position, which is smart because he I love that his heart is in helping the veterans, and he has done a lot in that area. And I like what he specifically said, work and housing, work and housing. Work so that you have something to feel accomplished with, and housing so that you have a place to live, let's face it, right? And I think that's key, and I think it's great that he knew that, and he knows that that's where so much of the effort should be focused. We'll see where we go with the VA secretary, who's going to end up running the VA. I know that's heavy on Trump's mind, that he's talked about a lot of different people. And to me, there's nothing more vile than having people with long wait times still, having problems even getting seen, and it's gotten better in some places. We've checked on that. We've had people on this show. It's gotten better, but it just can never be good enough. When you think of what somebody sacrificed and their families have sacrificed and how tough it is. I mean, yes, you could say life is tough, but no, not when somebody serves, not when they sacrifice, not when they've had families torn apart. And we should honor and take care of them, but I'm not getting on a soapbox. That's why it just made me think about that when Stallone made those statements, because he's so right on that, and good for him for focusing on that. All right, as I said, I've done tons of interviews over this past year, and we're going to bring some of those to you and bits and pieces of the show as well coming up next on the Best of America Tonight.
It's been a long time since I've seen you. And since we've seen none, and since has since gone, but we still here though, still the rap weirdos.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
For years, you've looked for safe solutions to protect what you've worked so hard to build. How do you
weather the next market correction with confidence?
Now there's a way to conquer the technology hurdle and help protect your profits without buying an annuity in any market condition. Introducing WealthGuard from OnTheMarkMoney.com. WealthGuard lets you know in advance if your accounts are dropping, an early warning system that tracks all your accounts. Get WealthGuard today, 100% free. Go to OnTheMarkMoney.com. That's OnTheMarkMoney.com.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Read all the pamphlets
and watch the tapes.
Read all the pamphlets
and watch the tapes.
Read all the pamphlets
and watch the tapes.
Get all confused with you. Mix up the dates.
Happened in New York and what could have happened in New Jersey over this past weekend. As all of you know, I was in New York City for 9/11, so my antenna immediately goes up, but I know yours does too as well. And now they have somebody in custody, charged him, etc. You know that story we've been talking about, Ahmad Khan Rahmani, that he was shot on Monday morning by police officers, and luckily he was sleeping in a bar door, and because his face was plastered all over the place, somebody called, in fact, the guy who owned the bar, and they were able to get him in New Jersey. And we know this is a pressure cooker situation again. They've got videotape, just absolutely crazy stuff. Robert Caltabiano joins us now, and he spent many, many years in law enforcement. In fact, the bulk of his career with the Secret Service, where he managed the terrorism task force often. And here we go. But Robert, thanks so much for joining us.
Wonderful to be here.
So from when you, and you know this, there's more threats than people would even want to know. People would be scared to walk out the front door if they knew some of what you probably dealt with over the course of your career, right?
I don't know about scared, but I want to flip that and say that people would be proud about what they're doing out there, that maybe not everybody knows every minute, but if you did, you'd really take pride in what law enforcement is doing.
Yes, and I agree with that, knowing a lot of FBI guys, and I know some Secret Service people too as well, and Homeland Security, if you want to throw that into the mix. So what was your reaction when you heard about Rahmani and the situation with him? That, again, something to be proud of, because there was swift action. His face was all over the place, and then, look, somebody saw, and they were able to get him?
Well, my, you know, obviously, like a lot of Americans, I think my first reaction was anger that, you know, this is happening again. And then, you know, looking and really rejoicing about our law enforcement system, because it works. You know, we have the best of the best out there. And so the first thing, you know, as an individual, anger, saying, again, why is this happening, you know, and, you know, happening to us in the country of the free. But then on the other hand, changing it and then looking at the great people out there that are, you know, have done miraculous things within the last 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah. So what is it that is going on? It's just a different world and we're seeing more lone wolf terrorists, or what's happening from your point of view?
You know, I know everybody calls them lone wolves. I think a lot of times, you know, if we look at it in a different perspective, copycats. You know, we have the situation in Minneapolis. You know, ISIS claims, you know, responsibility there. They claim responsibility for everything. It is an information world, so people are out there, you know, wanting to either make a name for themselves or with their disbeliefs and their hatred and doing things in a way that we didn't see 20 years ago. But we're getting better each and every day. I think really law enforcement, our military, you know, in our country here since 9/11, and you were there, I was in the area the same also, we're getting better at dealing with this. The unfortunate thing is that, you know, we really shouldn't have to deal with this.
Yes, we really shouldn't have to deal with this. From the point of view of, and this is a ridiculous comment, because how do you shut it down? It's more just about, as you mentioned, people would be proud if they knew what was happening on these task forces. When you worked on your task force, what did you look for? What were you trying to, how were you trying to stop a terrorist in their tracks or a potential situation?
I think anybody in the intelligence community, they're only as good as the information that they're receiving. And that comes from a lot of it, believe it or not, average everyday people. And so, you know, when I would sit down in briefings with our people, you know, what is going on? It's day-to-day things. You know, if you see something and it kind of looks funny or it smells and you don't do anything about it, I got to say why. Because if you really use your gut instinct, which we got to start using again, because we know what is right, and we really instinctively know that, then unfortunately I think that people move too fast sometimes to get on with their lives and don't stop and say, hey, wait a minute, what is that? You know, in case in point, the lady the other day taking the picture of the pressure cooker, I believe it was on, what, 27th Street?
Yeah.
And, you know, she put her life on the line, but she thought there was something wrong with this. And obviously, you know, it was. But she took that picture and then notified the police about it. And then the homeless individuals that, you know, they're lucky that they're alive that actually picked up the device, but then they did something. They notified police again. And it's that information that really can help one another when we really need it.
Yeah, so just keep your eyes open, not be paranoid, not enjoy your life, but just look around and trust your gut when you see something. I completely agree with that. From your years in the Secret Service and, you know, again, working in this global security operations too, because I'll call it that, I'll umbrella at that, do you think that was there starting to be more cooperation? I heard from a buddy that there is, that there's more cooperation than what was reported back in 9/11 between agencies.
I think we see that across the board. And, you know, to me, we're a country that continuously learns. And so, as you know, go back 15 years ago, you know, a lot of people, we just didn't communicate. You know, that was the culture back then. Everybody, you know, basically stayed in their own line. Now we have, you know, cross communications at times, but there was no really need for it. You know, everybody was an expert at what they did. And now, there is that need. I think it was always there, but unfortunately it took a really bad situation, a horrible situation, for us to realize this. And so that's what I'm saying, is that we're getting better every day. But I believe government, whether it's local, state, or federal, is only as good as we are, we the people. If we are sitting back and doing nothing, what do you think the expectation then should be on our government? And
yeah.
So we need to be able to, you know, to feed, you know, feed ourselves and to take care of ourselves in a way of, hey, if you see something, don't just say something, but do something.
Oh, I like that. Do something. Absolutely. When you were with the Secret Service, what was the coolest thing you got to do?
I think, you know, I tell people I was like a kid in a candy store in the fact that I loved history. And, you know, it is not easy running for president. We have two people that, you know, it is not easy. And it's a lot of work. It's the hardest job in the world outside, I think, of being a parent. But being around these people, I just could not help but learn. just the mannerisms maybe of who they are, or what sometimes they're thinking, how they act. And, you know, you take pride into the fact that in the Secret Service, we protected the office of the presidency or the vice president or the former presidents or first ladies. And at the end of the day, they're people just like you and I. They get colds. They have headaches. They also laugh and cry at the same time. And we don't see that very often anymore. I think we view them very differently. But I want to tell everybody, it was a fantastic life and something that a kid from upstate New York would have never dreamed of doing, or going places that he never dreamed of going. And to represent our country was a gift of a lifetime.
Yeah, working on the campaign. If you were there on the campaign trail, was there a president that you stuck with, that you were part of their detail, or no?
Not to get into the nitty gritty, but it depended. We do rotations, and on the campaign trail, I was out with quite a few of them. I worked with 7 presidents, and
wow.
Many people that ran for president. And it was, the main thing is, I think we went out and saw the American people. We saw everybody and anybody, all walks of life throughout this country, and it just made me really be so proud of who we are. And it's because of the people behind it. We really do have our country is just wonderful. We're blessed. And we just need to get out to see that more often. And traveling around the country in the campaign trails allows you to see that and to feel it amongst our people.
Oh, boy, I bet. So I guarantee that you've watched this movie several times. How accurate was In the Line of Fire?
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
I love movies. Clint Eastwood is a hero of mine. I watch all his movies. There's bits and pieces behind it. Things change. I think, tactics change as we went across in time. That was done in the early 90s.
Yeah.
What they did back then, we wouldn't be probably doing today, because the presidency's changed, because the world has changed. I think we learned when the attempt on President Reagan's life.
Yeah.
Back in 1981, the Secret Service had to readjust how it did business, and they're constantly doing it. And what happens today, if you and I speak in a year from now, probably things will change.
Yeah, absolutely. Robert Caltabiano, thank you so much for coming on, talking about this. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
So long ago, but you never asked me to forget about you, 'cause you know if you ask me for anything, you'll get it right away.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of the lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention heartburn drug users. If you or a loved one has taken Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, and suffered serious kidney damage, chronic kidney disease, or kidney failure, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Studies from the JAMA Internal Medicine indicate a significant increased risk of acute and chronic kidney disease from taking proton pump inhibitors. If you or a loved one was diagnosed with kidney failure or chronic kidney disease after taking Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-225-8944. That's 800-225-8944. Again, 800-225-8944. Call now.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
I thought it'd be fun to have my pal Jared Bro on the show, and he is a crisis communications, I mean, just guru, honestly, and everything to do with media training, etc. And he was a member of the media and saw what it was like when people tried to dodge your questions. I think Chris Wallace did an excellent job as moderator, but there were some interesting moments in that debate. There's no question about it. Jared, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Always my pleasure, Kate.
Well, when we talk about spin and politicians dodging questions, one of the big ones was Hillary Clinton on the whole pay-to-play question with the Clinton Foundation, and she never really answered it.
And that's the big problem that we as Americans face, is that certain politicians are, what I'm going to say, are overtrained not to answer questions. And sadly, the moderators are not always prepared to know what the trainers teach in the avoidance techniques to know how to come back at that candidate and say, I'm sorry, you didn't answer that question. I specifically asked this. And what we're looking at is the frustration of the American populace, in large part because it's tough to get a clear answer from a candidate, whether they're serving in office or whether they're in a debate, because there are people out there in the profession that I am who train spokespeople who I think those trainers do it wrong and do a disservice, because it gets to the point that if you ask the candidate, is the sky blue, the candidate will say, well, I'll tell you why the sky is not blue. It's because the Environmental Protection Agency needs to do X, Y, and Z, and until they fix the healthcare system, we're not going to have blue skies again. And that's what frustrates Americans, and that's what frustrates people like you and I.
Yeah, so in your training, what do you do? What do you teach CEOs or other people you work with when they're asked those kinds of questions? What do you tell them to do?
Well, the key to anybody talking to the media, whether it's a CEO that I'm working with or a politician, which I seldom ever work with, it's how to tell the truth and pick the best words that explain what you want to do but to parse your words so that you don't say an inflammatory word that is going to cause a bunch of negative, cynical questions. I remember when I was a reporter, and I did that for 15 years. I haven't done it in the past 22 years. I've been out on my own as a trainer for 22 years. But I remember years ago hearing people at a news conference, for example, or in an interview, say one word that is the wrong word to say, and it sets off my cynic filter. When I was a reporter, everybody always described me as being the most cynical person they had ever met, and it's absolutely true. So for me, it's we have to tell the truth. Pick your words carefully when you're starting to tell the truth. Never lie and never spin.
Yeah, boy, and that's what we see. We see constant spin. Who is better at the art of spin, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump?
Those two are extreme opposites. Hillary is more of a spin person because she has been at it longer and practicing more. Mm. Trump is, for a trainer, your worst nightmare because he does not like to train. He believes he is more effective when he's spontaneous. And for years, I've met CEOs like him, and I don't take them on as clients. I'll terminate a class if I see someone who's not open to preparing. The art of doing a debate or doing an interview is to practice in private so you don't mess up in public. And Hillary goes to one extreme of going to great lengths never to answer the specific question and to kind of weave a story that is so long that by the time she gets to the end of the answer, you almost forget what it was. Last night was less of a spin night. The second debate was a perfect example of two people both spinning, both candidates spinning, when the very first question came from a mom who says, there have been some vulgar things out in the news today. This was right after Trump's tapes came out. And the mother said, you know, there are so many vulgar things. How do we let our children who have been assigned to watch this debate for school, how do we let them watch without scoring them for life? Mm. And neither candidate ever answered that lady's question. That is spin, and both of them did it, one through training, one because he was the one who had used the most vulgar words that week and simply wouldn't acknowledge it.
Yeah, great observation, absolutely. And we saw that the town hall was perfect for that, and you're right. That was the question that just never, there was never really an answer to that. Of course there wasn't, because that's exactly what you're describing, how Trump is handling it and how Hillary Clinton is handling it. What about if you were Kellyanne Conway, who is the campaign manager for Trump? He, would he do, imagine that. I like that laugh. When he says under his breath, and actually, not even under his breath if the mic is working, when he says lies, liar, when he does that, when he makes those, you know, just kind of interrupts and says the one word, but it gets a lot of play. It gets tweeted out, and people focus on that, and then they're not focusing on even what she's saying.
Yeah, with Kellyanne Conway and really all of the surrogates for each of the candidates, and even the vice presidential candidates for each of the candidates, those are the people who are most in spin. If Donald Trump came out and said, the sky is black, and everybody said, that was the wrong thing to say. Last week you said the sky was white. His surrogates would be on the air in minutes in the spin room saying, well, what the candidate really said was, you know, it's not so much that it's black, it's a dark gray. And that dark gray goes toward more of a pale color, and it's almost the color of a cloud. And those clouds, you know, sometimes they're dark, but they're mostly white. And it's like, people, for goodness sake, CNN is the worst offender because they pay the surrogates to sit there, and instead of covering the issues, they cover, if I may say, the squabble between the yeah. candidates. There was another word I wanted to use, but I'm censoring myself. Rather than cover issues, the media gets sucked into covering the squabbles. And as I was saying earlier, you have to parse your words. You have to pick the most perfect words. And what you see the media jump on this morning in the analysis is who said the wrong word.
Mm.
And the one that committed the biggest sin in the eyes of the media was when Trump said that he was not going to accept the results of the election. And that's created the entire news cycle. One 12-second comment creates an entire news cycle. And that's part of what executives have to work on, is understanding that this affects your reputation and revenue. In public relations, many people worry about, does it affect your reputation? In my world of public relations, it's reputation and revenue. It takes millions of dollars to cover up a sin of one or two misspoken words.
Yeah, and you know, when he said that, it was almost like he was off the cuff, and I think a lot of things are off the cuff with him. That's what we're talking about. And you're right, that's been, besides the few comments on the side, like calling Clinton a nasty woman and bad hombres, but that's more like Twitter and whatnot, not what's being covered on the tube and not so much what's being written about. Was that a huge mistake for Trump?
I tend to think so, but, you know, when you and I have a discussion like this, our social media accounts are going to light up and people are going to perceive that we're biased about something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When
yeah.
the reality is, I'm looking at this as a political observer. Yep. I don't like either one of these people as far as watching their performance. I think they both have great flaws. And what I worry about when I watch somebody like Trump, the one that got me the most last night, was when Hillary said, "You're Putin's puppet," and he said, "No, you're the puppet." And my wife immediately called me because we had laughed and quoted Saturday Night Live for years where there was a sketch where a puppet would say, "No, you're the dummy," and the other person would say, "You're the dummy." And my wife works at a school, and six-year-old boys do this on playground. The thing about it is, what each of these candidates have going for them is one-third of the voting populace love them. And no matter what you do, you will not lose your loyal one-third. And it's the third in the middle who swing like a pendulum that you have to win over in these debates. And those little missteps will just leave a voter at this critical juncture at the end of the campaign who, you know, those middle thirds are where the undecideds are. And it's those little words like, "No, you're the puppet." When you go, "Well, that was completely out of context. You just lost me there." And it's those one words that lose that vote for you and cost you dearly for the rest of your life.
Yeah, so it's like you say, when you're working with people, reputation and revenue, it comes back to what we first started talking about. You have to watch your words, correct?
Absolutely. I remember watching an interview with someone who I knew had been trained but had never practiced again lose $700 million project in a 12-second soundbite because he failed to practice before he went out for that interview. And I'll tell you who's a perfect example for us to use as a case study. Let's look at Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate. I was watching MSNBC. I'm a news junkie. I watch seven TV networks in the first 90 minutes of the morning while I'm drinking my coffee, right? So Gary Johnson was being interviewed weeks ago on MSNBC, and one of the anchors said, "What about Aleppo?" Mm. And Gary Johnson is now famous for the phrase, "What about Aleppo?" when he asked back, "What about Aleppo?" Whereas if Gary had been through good training, Gary would have been taught to say, "Well, can you be more specific?" So at the time, Gary is, out of the three candidates, the most honest, because immediately afterwards he said, "I'm sorry, I need to be sharper. I need to be better on this stuff. I thought he was using an acronym. I didn't hear the question well enough to realize he was talking about Syria." If Gary had been trained, he would not have just responded to that question by saying, "What about Aleppo?" or "What is Aleppo? What is Aleppo?" is what he said. He would have been trained to say, "Can you be more specific?"
Mm.
And at that point, the reporter would have said, "Well, all these Syrian refugees are there, bombings are taking place, et cetera, et cetera." And the question would have come into view, which would have allowed him to say, "Well, in case of Syria, I think we need to do X, Y, and Z." So those 4 seconds, "What is Aleppo?" cost Gary Johnson a lot of votes, because there were people who were looking at him as a viable third-party candidate who could have jumped on board, but that entire news cycle was consumed with mockery.
Yeah, absolutely. Great, great example, of course. Jared Breaux, thanks so much, as always, for joining us on America Tonight.
Always good to be with you, Kate.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better, Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water, a gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Hi there, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and we're looking in this time of terrible financial crash, terrible meltdown of the medical system, we're looking to pay people obscene amounts of money if you become a student of our business at Youngevity. We will help you actually take care of people better than the medical system has. Think about it. We spend more money in America for healthcare than all the other 218 nations the world put together, and they can't even solve weight loss problems. I mean, the medical system can have a total mental brain fart, and if you do this, you will be able to save an enormous amount of people from being overweight, being obese. They don't even know what causes obesity. Believe me, we know what causes obesity. In the medical system, they think it's from eating too much. It's not from eating too much. It's actually a mineral deficiency. Do you solve a iron deficiency anemia with a bone marrow transplant? That's what they think. Do you solve a mineral deficiency that causes obesity with a gastric bypass? That's dumber than a stump. Contact us at GCNminerals.com. Learn how to lose weight, look good, and save yourselves a gob of money.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset Jeans, here to wish you all a Merry Christmas. For over 20 years, we have built a loyal customer base with 100% American-made jeans featuring enhanced fit, comfort, durability, and style. Today, all of our inventory is discounted by 20%, so don't delay. Enjoy a wonderful shopping experience at Gusset.com. Thanks for keeping our American dream alive, the original Diamond Gusset Jean.
What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Why, it's almost like being in love.
What a pleasure to be joined on America Tonight by Don Most. You might remember him as Ralph. I'm sure you remember him on Ralph in the iconic series Happy Days, but he is also a wicked singer. I was just listening to some of his tunes, and I want to dig even deeper into the archive. Somebody turned me on to Don's stuff, and he's got a new CD titled Swinging Down the Chimney Tonight. I love that song, although I'm a terrible singer. He's a great singer. Hey, Don, thanks for coming on the show.
Kate, thank you very much for having me.
So tell me what it was like to, I mean, you sing, you do shows, you do a lot of the, I call it like kind of the swinging tunes. I lived in California and had the pleasure of going to Vegas a bunch, and I love the whole Rat Pack, Sinatra, Dino, and that kind of thing. And you're touring with a band that performs where you sing and you do the swinging hits like that, which is awesome that you can reach back and do it, because I think people long for that nostalgia. But what's it like, before we talk about that, to do holiday recordings? That's pretty fun, huh?
Yeah. What happened was after I started doing my live show a few years ago, a lot of people were
encouraging me to record. We started with a regular CD, which actually will come out in February, and that's called The Most Mostly Swinging. And, it, you know, it's all the great jazz standards and the swing stuff, and like you were talking about, some of the Sinatra kind of music and Bobby Darin and all the greats and songs from the Great American Songbook. But then when we finished, it came out so well, and my manager and the record company, they were, you know, so happy with it. My producer said, you know, we should do a few Christmas songs because it might be a good thing to get that out even prior to the release of the main CD to help spread the word of what you're doing, you know. So we didn't have a lot of time to get out in time, so we did four songs, and we figured we'd put out what, you know, they call an EP, which is not a full CD, but it was a nice sampling of some Christmas songs, and it was a lot of fun. We decided to do some in the swing vein, but then there were a couple of real traditional songs as well, like the Christmas song that Nat King Cole made famous, because that was always one of my favorites.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you that. So did you have a favorite? Would that be maybe the favorite in this little compilation?
Yeah. That's a tough one. It's right up there. You know, it varies. It's like when I listen to them, one time I'll say, oh, I like this one the best. And then another time, another one strikes me. I also like that one, but The Man with the Bag is a lot of fun, too. It's a big band swing song and a little more jazzy, and I like that one a lot, too. I guess those two are. But then I also do, we have a real fun time with Santa Baby, which we do as a duet, and there's a wonderful singer, Becky Martin, that I do it with, and it's very different approach to Santa Baby, and the musical style shift back and forth between one for the guy and one for the girl, and it's very interesting. And then, of course, there's it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, which you can't go wrong with that. So it's a really nice kind of variety of styles and feelings, and I'm pretty happy with it. It came out great.
So you obviously have a big acting background. It's not just Happy Days. You've done a lot of film work, and you still continue to do that. Did you always have the passion, though, for singing as well?
Actually, it was prior to acting that I started out as a singer when I was very young. When I was 14 years old and 15, I got picked to be part of this sort of nightclub review. It was from a school that I was going to, and then they picked, you know, there were seven or eight of us in that age range, and we were part of this nightclub review, and I sang in the nightclubs of the Catskill Mountains, which was a resort area upstate New York that was big back then. So I was doing that before I was acting. And then after that season, I switched gears and enrolled in a more serious workshop and acting class. And I kind of moved in that direction and started getting some work and really going after that in a big way. But always knowing that I would come back to the music at some point. Now, I don't know why it took me this long, because I'm loving it. But there's a reason and time for everything. And I did come back to it, although I'm not going to stop. I still want to continue acting, directing, but I'm loving doing this so much. You know, I just did a show in New York City at Feinstein's 54 Below and had a wonderful time. And I have a show coming out here in Los Angeles at a great jazz club called Catalina's Bar and Grill, which is in Hollywood, and I have that coming up the 21st. So I love the live shows, and now the recordings, getting in the studio with unbelievable musicians and great jazz guys and arrangements and all that. It's just it's an incredible high.
Yeah, how fun is that? And you mentioned you haven't stopped directing or acting. Is there more opportunity now because you see the explosion of Netflix and Amazon and other vehicles? Is there more opportunity? I heard a thing with Jennifer Aniston the other day where she said, oh, TV's where it's at. I mean, there's just so much to do. So that's great for actors.
Yeah, there is a lot more content, more outlets, and they're doing some wonderful things in all of these, you know, alternative outlets. I don't know what you call them, you know, cable and the new outlets. I'm seeing it, and you know, I mean, I was focusing on the music the last couple of years, so I'm now like starting to put the big push on with my agents to get me some good roles again, because I miss that. So I'm hoping that we'll I'll find some of those great roles on these new shows that are going on.
Yeah, absolutely. The world lost a great guy that you knew, Gary Marshall, this past year. What was Gary Marshall like?
Oh, Gary was one of a kind, an incredible guy, with comic genius, and he was our leader on Happy Days, and he led many other shows and movies, and he really helped bring us together as a family. He formed a baseball team for us, and we traveled around the country touring major league parks, playing in games, and so we had incredible experiences together, and a funny guy, but a very warm and caring guy as well. We will all miss him a lot.
Yeah, as you said, it's like a family, but everybody's doing a million things in a million different directions. Do you ever, every once in a while, get together, you know, with Henry or anybody else that was in your Happy Days cast?
Yes. Anson Williams, who played Potsy, and I, we get together a lot. We live fairly close to each other, and we see each other all the time. Henry, we stay in touch. I had lunch with him not long ago, and I ran into him, saw Marion Ross at a function, and we got to hang out. It was great. I played golf with Scott Baio recently. We stay in touch. Like you said, everyone goes into, has a million different things going on, and so it's certainly not to the degree like it was when we were all working together, but there is that sort of sense of family that will never go away.
Yeah. So you're a golfer. Wow. I'm a golfer. So when you're out there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I hack at it. I try really, really hard, Don. So I'm just assuming you and Scott, I'm picturing the two of you, walking down to your balls, and I'm thinking you're out driving him by 25 yards.
Well, not really. Not really. I mean, he can hit the ball pretty far. On occasion, every once in a while, I'll hit one maybe a little bit by him. But for the most part, he's probably out driving me these days. I haven't been playing as much as I would like. I've been so busy with the music. So I need to sharpen up again and then go out and play with him again so I could do what you're saying.
I love that. I want to tell everybody that it is a great CD. Get it swinging down the chimney tonight, and we'll look for you live. I'd love to see you live sometime. And Catalina, you're going to be there at that jazz club you said on the 21st. So anybody listening to me, certainly in that area, go out and see Don Most.
Yeah, and I'm going to be... I'm going to be in Texas, in Greenville, Texas, in February, the Texan
Cool.
Theater, and then Bay City, Michigan, in February as well. So for people out in the Midwest, you might be able to catch me. So I hope so. And then my other CD coming out in February, mostly swinging.
All right, so we will look for that too. And Greenville, I'll catch you in Greenville. I'll go out and see you in Greenville. That's not far from Dallas for people listening.
Oh, good. I was wondering. It's February, I think it's the 25th. It's either the 18th or the 25th at the Texan Theater, I believe it's called.
Texan Theater. Cool.
Yeah.
We will look for you there, definitely. Don Most, thank you so much.
Kate, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Don't know what contaminants are lurking in your water? Time to get a ProPure. Take advantage of ProPure's holiday sale. Save 25% on all ProPure water filter products. Sales good through December 31st. There's a ProPure water filter for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.